Hello, everybody, and welcome to Facebook Ads Agency Builders. We are a powerhouse community of entrepreneurs seizing the opportunity of the rapidly advancing digital marketing industry and bringing some of the best minds in the business together to have massive impact for our clients. Over the past 5 years, Tyler Narducci has been building and scaling his own digital agency, helping businesses grow and market their services and products through online advertising. Now, he's helping other startup digital agencies launch and scale rapidly to six figures with the Done For You agency program. If you are interested in taking your agency to the next level and skip all those painful mistakes most have to make by learning directly from those killing it in the digital agency space, then apply now at sobeviral.com/agency-build. That's sobeviral.com/agency-build. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes as well as in the About section of the Facebook group. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
All right, everybody, welcome to the next episode of the FAAB podcast. Again, I have Kevin Miller here,
who was with us.
Earlier this year, I think back in April is when you graced us with your presence on one of our previous episodes, but I enjoyed the episode so much and I knew there was just so much more to dig into with you that I had to have you on here again. So thank you so much again for joining us. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself again for those, just to get a little refresher, a little bit about yourself and what you guys do over at All Approach?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, brother. I appreciate you so much. Always a pleasure. Love to see you smiling and shining, baby. So Kevin Marcus Miller, what's up, everybody? I own a firm. It's called All Approach. We're a business growth agency. Essentially, what we do is help businesses grow their emotional and financial bank account at the same time. Instead of, hey, I need more leads. Well, what about your business? Do you have the right capacity and mindset to win? So that's our approach to helping businesses grow online. And I think today we're going to be talking about staffing. Is that right?
Yes. We're going to be talking about VAs, which is a huge, huge piece of the puzzle these days for marketing agencies. Yep. And I think you said that is our approach. And I wanted to be like, that's the approach. a new tagline for you right there. The right approach, all approach. I love it. Really, really cool. Well, like I said, I'm super excited to have you on here. We're going to be talking about virtual assistants, which are just a huge piece of the agency model, I think, today. I mean, of a successful agency model, because there are just so many different things that a VA can help a marketing agency with, whether they're just getting started or whether they're well-established. There's just so many different places. And I've seen what you guys have been doing over at All Approach and integrating VAs into your, your business solutions for your clients. Right. I think it's really, really impressive. And
thank you.
I definitely wanted to have you on here to kind of dig into that a little bit more. I know we touched on it a little bit in our last episode, but I think there's a lot more to dig into. So,
for sure.
Without further ado, we'll just dive right into it. So virtual assistants, first, can you kind of tell everybody like what a virtual assistant is and like how that differs from any other employee that you'd have, I guess, a local employee? What are the main differences between a virtual assistant and any other employee that you hire?
For sure. So the first thing folks need to understand is that in the small business world, most of the time people hire virtual assistants because they have a specific problem they want to solve quickly versus you hiring an employee, right? Mentoring, coaching that person, and their job title adjusts throughout time. When you hire a virtual assistant, their job is to assist. Their job is not to lead. So there's a huge difference. Like if you're hiring an employee, their job might be to actually manage folks. So I always tell people, be really clear about what you need. Don't just throw somebody that you gave this title and now they're supposed to be managing or doing all these really hard things and you set them up for failure. So if you're going to start off with, an entry level or junior position, right? For what you need, depending on how advanced your agency is.
Yeah, so when you hire a VA, just like understand exactly what you're hiring them for, why you're hiring them. Don't hire them and say like, okay, make it all better.
That's just not how it works. And it worked, and the same thing, if you hire somebody in the US, it doesn't work that way either.
Right. For sure. Yeah. Okay. So what are, you know, what are some things that a marketing agency or any business for that matter, would hire a VA to help out with?
Yeah. So I like to use this formula. So growth generating tasks, right? If you're under six figures, always start there because the business needs oxygen.
Yeah.
Right. The business needs that oxygen immediately. And that's your marketing efforts, your lead gen, right? So the issue I see a lot of times is people don't have a process set up yet. And so they're experimenting with their VA as they go. And then
and if it doesn't work out, and they blame the VA.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know the drill, man. You know the drill.
It's terrible.
You've seen it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've definitely seen it.
No, so, yeah, that always kills me. I hate when people blame their VA and they say, oh, it's a bad VA or, oh, you know, whatever. And really, like what you just said, like instead, it wasn't necessarily a bad VA. It was possibly either a lack of a clear SOP for the VA, which falls on you. An SOP, for those of you guys listening, standard operating procedure, just a directive instructions on giving that VA, you know, on how to do their work. But, you know, they could be following your instructions to a T. Maybe they weren't the best instructions. And so the result isn't there. And then, you know, us with our egos, sometimes we jump and say, oh, it's a bad VA. I need a new VA. Well, you know, maybe sometimes it was the training. But go ahead. I'm sorry. So
no, you're good. You said, we triggered right now.
Yeah. we're like 3 minutes in and I'm triggered. No. No, so we got to give them tasks that are going to be lever movers.
Exactly. And the problem is most people, right, they don't have the process set up before because they're still under six figures and they haven't scaled yet.
Yeah.
Right. So if you've never done LinkedIn lead gen on that account and then you throw the VA in the mix, it's going to take you a lot longer than if it was already established and warm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then maybe it's a small tweak of messaging, audience, you know, these things. Right. But for those listening in, right, start with adjusting the campaign messaging, the audience, and then talk to the VA. Don't, oh my goodness, you're not doing it right. Because think about it, you're probably not doing it right either.
Yeah. Huge. That's massive. I mean, I don't think enough people talk about that. Like hiring a VA for a process that you have not proven yourself. Like that, I don't think that, you know, that's talked about enough, right? Because like I said before, and like you said, like we have this natural tendency to go, oh, it's the VA, but like you haven't even cracked that yourself yet. And now you're going to bring in somebody, try and teach them how to do it when you haven't done it and hope that they get it and it works.
Talk to them.
I mean, when you say it, like I did just now, like it sounds crazy, but people do it all the time.
And if you're going to do it that way, only do it with people you trust because you're experimenting as you go and you both accepted that.
Right. And understand that if it doesn't work out, it's not necessarily their fault right away. Right. Mm-hmm. Like in the same way that it wasn't your fault when it wasn't working when you were doing it. So I think that that's definitely not said enough. That's a really, really good point. So you said some of the things that they can help with, you said first, they should focus on things that are going to bring oxygen to the business.
Right. So lead marketing, lead gen. Then after that layer is taken care of, then you go to things like, okay, so we got, you know, business coming in. It's clear. Here's where people go wrong. So you have that thing working now. Let's say your lead gen is awesome.
Yeah.
It's working. It's great. Maybe you got 20 hours per week with that VA. Do not give that VA more tasks and then spread them thin. Hire another VA to take care of the other tasks.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where people
get just become like a rock star at that thing that they're doing well. Yeah. Works
way better. I made that mistake in the beginning. Cost me a lot of money.
Because you started seeing what happened then. You started seeing their performance on the thing that they were doing well start slipping because they were distracted now with these other tasks.
It's two things. It's actually, surprisingly, the VA, like you got to think about it. The VA is also just like us in regards to they have wants and desires and where they want to go in their career. And so if you're always changing their job duties, they actually don't want to be with you anymore because you're not stable.
Yeah.
And so I had to figure that out. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I really had to sit down.
they see it as like juggling.
Yeah, it's like you're scatterbrained, you're not clear, the business isn't doing right. Even if you're killing the business, but you're changing everything every single week, that's not how to build a team.
Yeah, because you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that to an employee.
Never. Woo! Right. Imagine if you were like, I used to work at Microsoft. Imagine if my job duties changed every 7 days.
Yeah. You'd be like, what am I even doing here?
Yeah.
But for some reason, and I think that's another thing that's not talked about enough, is people often will look at VAs as like second class employees, which is terrible. And then they would do things like that, like change their job description and make them juggle all those types of things and give them very short windows to catch on to things. And if they don't catch on, that they're fired. I think we tend to do those types of things because, you know, if there's some type of, you know, idea that they're not as, you know, as worthy as the other employees, which is totally wrong. It's totally the wrong way to think about it. And then when you put that out there, you're going to be treating them differently. They're going to feel that because they're people, right? Yes. Like, so it just, I mean, you set yourself up for total failure. I think whenever you're working with them, it's probably just best that you think, you know, if I were this VA, how would I want to be treated? I mean, it's super simple. It's like what our moms teach us.
It's like so simple, right? But it never is.
Yeah.
Because like you said, our ego, man, our egos are crazy.
Huge. Crazy. Huge. And I like, people think that, you know, because their pay is sometimes less than a different employee's, that they're interchangeable and that they'll just get another one quickly. But what they do is they, you know, when you just cycle through them and you don't give them enough time to really catch on to their tasks, and you're like, you're just hurting yourself, because every time you do that, the learning process starts all over with the brand new one. And just, you know, it backfires on you. But I think that's definitely something to highlight there too. Treat them like, you know, you would treat.
Yeah, like the key is definitely treat them like a W-2 employee in terms of, I'm not talking legally, I'm talking just about your morale and your respect level.
Yeah.
You'll notice the results so much different. What I see a lot of times when people come to me, they've been, oh, well, I had an appointment setter. Great. How are you treating them? Oh, well, let me talk to them every once in a while. And they just book me appointments. And it's like, dude, like, that's not a job. That's not like that mindset is going to keep you where you're at. You need a growth partner. That's what we like to call VAs, is their growth partners.
Yeah. 100%. I love that. I love that terminology. So what type of businesses benefit the most from having a VA? Mm.
So actually we should talk about this, because I've recently seen like a new gamut of niches that have been leveraging VAs, and it's been pretty cool. So there's like the basic ones where most people know, like marketing agencies, accounting firms, things like that.
Yeah.
Here's where it starts to get really interesting. So if you actually start digging into outsourcing a little bit deeper online, so if you just kind of go on Google and start going through stuff, what you're going to find is that hospitals, Airbnb,
wow,
all these like Turo, all these really cool niche business models actually have been leveraging VAs this entire time.
Wow. Hospitals, that kills me, because they're charging us. They're paying VA for the work, and they're charging us like hundreds of thousands of dollars for a Band-Aid. What the hell? There's the crooks. They're so bad. Hospitals.
Now, once you have the eye for it and know how to spot it, you can go, oh, that's a VA. Like the other day, I was booking a flight with Expedia, changing a flight.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, are you, you're in the Philippines, yeah? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, nice to meet you. How you doing?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my.
Come to think of it, I'm pretty sure like Facebook's reps are there too. Like all their customer service, like, and you know that like a lot of the customer service ones, like on the bigger companies, like they're just given these templated.
Oh yeah. They're not treating them with respect, man. You can tell. That's why the performance isn't there.
They're also not empowering them to make impactful change. Right. So they're putting them, here's what's terrible about it. Like companies like Facebook, like they'll put them on the front lines. Right. Like you can't talk to anybody at Facebook other than through this chat support feature when you're pulling your hair out, your ad account's down, and that's like funding your whole business at the moment. Right. And so, and then they give you to, you know, a VA basically, and they don't empower them to make any meaningful change. They just empower them to say, okay, well, we're reporting this to people who can make change, and we'll get back to you once we've spoken to them. And so these poor guys are just like beat up on and like in the line of fire, which is terrible. I think it's probably an example of bad ways to use them, but.
And well, here's what you got to look at it, right? Those corporations, that reputation or whatever going on in that exchange, for whatever reason, that's okay with them.
Yeah.
And it has been for all these huge corporations. I think it's just because when you get to that level, you can't possibly, I think that's what it is. You probably, you know, can't have the level of excellence at that stage.
Yeah. It's just because the number, like
the number of people that are
massive amount of people. Yeah. It's just too much, which is crazy. Like even when you have an ad account that's like spending like millions and millions of dollars, you're still not even on their radar. Because there's people that are spending $1 million a day, like blows my mind. So, all right. So that's cool. So we know like the more conventional business models, then now, you know, even bigger ones are using it. Like, I think I was so hesitant to actually get VAs for the longest time. Like it took me so long to hop on the VA train. And like, when I finally did, I was like, this is really amazing. And like, it can automate just so much of what I was doing day to day. I was the same way with hiring my own ads people too. Like I ran my own agency ads for the longest time, like up until very recently. Like my clients had teams doing it for sure. But like I was doing my own ads for so long, and I just like, we were getting good results. And like, I just didn't want to pass over that process. Cause I didn't, in my head, I was like, the fee for those ad guys, when I could do it just in a few hours of my own time, like it's just, you know, and whatever. But then when results started slipping and everything, I was like, oh God. And then we got hacked. There was all this stuff, right?
Yep.
So I brought the other team in and I was forced to. And
that's what it is a lot of times, bro, is that we stretch and grow so much, we have to hire.
Yeah. No, yeah. That one, like I was completely broken in half and forced to bring those people in. And then I was like, oh my God, they're killing it. Like, what was I doing? Like, again, though, it was my ego.
Yeah.
In the way of, you know, hiring somebody, like, was their fee worth it? Yes, their fee was worth it. It was so worth it. Like in what they were able to do compared to what I was able to do. But again, like egos are like,
why you got to have, you know, the right people that are also growing in the same way you are. Cause you know, you can bounce ideas off each other.
Yeah.
Like, when I can just talk about stuff that's going on in our business, be like, well, I'm trying to do this, or I'm about to get a closer, I'm about to do this. And that's why your program's so powerful, you know, to all of us. So.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's so funny because like I feel like sometimes I can give like really great advice, and then other times I'm like, Tyler, take your own freaking advice. What the hell are you? What are you doing? Like, bring in these ads people. Like, get more VAs and everything. Yeah. And so like, it's sometimes just taking your own advice can be the hardest part. But then it turns out so good. Like it's like VAs have been fantastic. The ads people that I brought in have been absolutely incredible. Like they're amazing, next level. Like I thought I was killing it. I thought I was doing really, really good. And they came in and made my junk. Like they deleted it. They were like, we don't need this. It's cluttering up the ad account and it's causing extra rejections. Or can we just get rid of it? I'm like, yeah, okay. They wiped it out and like it's fine. They're doing much better. But long story short, how do I know when you're ready to hire a VA?
When you're ready to let go of control.
Or forced to.
So in my situation, because for folks who don't know, I'm a sudden cardiac arrest survivor, right? So I have a serious medical condition that affects me every day. With that, I am forced to have to delegate more than my peers, right? So it wasn't a choice for me, but I actually leaned into that. And that's my superpower now, is my ability to master the art of delegation.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I love like that, like niche that you've been able to like carve out for yourself and just continually get better and better and better. Love that. So we did talk about this a little bit before, but lead gen is vital to an agency, right? You said before, it's what brings in oxygen. I called it like the lever mover, right? Mm-hmm. So like, what are the types of things that VAs can be doing tactically to bring in more leads to a marketing agency?
Awesome. So first thing you want to do is audit all of your organic efforts. I think a lot of people sleep on because they want to get the Facebook ad, the YouTube ad, yeah, all that going, right? Yeah. I personally, this is just my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I prefer to go organic first and then take that formula of what's working, plug it into the ads.
I love it. I actually really like that path too. And we're actually in the program, we've been talking with a lot of new elite members about their options. Like,
oh, nice.
Like, and we've launched or full on organic instead of paid with some that find that that's a better path. And like, sure, in many cases, it is a better path because it's less money upfront. And if you do it right, if you're doing organic right, then you can get a ton of results as well. So it's just like finding what's right for you and your agency and then going for it, right? You either have money or you have time or you have both. You have both. You got the most.
Wish we had both, man.
Yeah. So I've met a few people with both. I mean, they're rare, but
they're like, rare.
Those are cool. Usually though, if they do have both, they don't want to use the time. They got it. They got it, but they don't really want to use it.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's like, all right, buddy, what you really doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bulk versus personalized, right? So that's the big debate that we all have, right? It's like, okay, am I going to leverage the VA to help me with bulk outreach, mm-hmm, or highly personalized? And here's my two cents, right? Whichever lead gen system is actually working for you right now, that's the one you plug in the VA. Don't try to like reinvent the wheel. And then what you're doing is, if you're, let's say you're on an airplane, you're getting ready to take off. What you're doing with the VA, if you do that, is like trying to get the VA on the plane, and they're literally on the runway trying to get on the plane and hanging off the wing. Like, that's, yeah, come on, man. That's not fair.
No. Yeah. So, and you recommend that because you've already got that process down and learned it, and you're just passing it off to them instead of hoping that they can hop on board and learn to fly a plane while it's on the runway.
I can definitely. So, in your program, bulk definitely, like the way I would do it sometimes is bulk to validate the offer. That way you get enough reps in for the use case.
Yeah.
So validate the offer. Then once the offer is validated, go with that highly personalized touch, Loom video, all those things that you teach.
Yeah. Very cool. So in terms of lead gen, like you said, audit your own organic strategies, find out which ones are working already, and then have the VA step into that one first. Just to give an idea of some people that are listening, like what some lead gen strategies that are out there. There's, email outreach, there, whether in bulk, like you said, and through like automated services, like Paracone Leads and other softwares that you can do. Right. And there's, direct manually sending one email to one email, or like even if you do 10 at a time, I would consider that more manually. Mm-hmm. Then there's like cold calling.
Link, right? Yeah. LinkedIn automation. There's regular automation. LinkedIn outreach, just manual sending. Like one of the things that's really slept on, I actually haven't seen a lot of people do this. If you have your VA go on your LinkedIn outreach, right? And you send a message to someone that's so personalized, you couldn't send it to anybody else.
Yeah.
Right. So like, Kevin, I read your article on USA Today about your heart. Really glad you're still here.
Yeah.
That's going to get my attention immediately.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah. But that takes time.
Yes.
Right. And so the VA would have to be trained on how to find those things and put those into the outreach. Now, another way that they could do it would be social as well. So you have LinkedIn, you have socials where they're messaging people on Instagram.
Right.
And then another one would be
Facebook.
Cool. What? Facebook. Facebook. Oh, Facebook groups. Yeah. But there has to be a Facebook group there first. Do you mean like them going into other people's Facebook groups or them
you can develop that strategy if you don't already have that, but it does work. It's worked for me. So what you do is you create your own group.
Okay.
Right. Create your own Facebook group, make it private. Then you have your outreach going, like let's say you're doing U-Link on LinkedIn, right? You have your outreach. And instead of trying to sell folks in the DM, what you're doing is simply inviting them to participate in the group, and you're doing it to an audience that would get the value. So hey, I'm making a group for marketers, right? You want to join this group? Awesome. Yeah, you're in the group now. And so now when you have hundreds of people in the group, You do training videos, right? You introduce them to your team, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. No, I talk about starting Facebook groups all the time. I think it's such a valuable, piece to put people in, because oftentimes people don't close right away when they're in your sales cycle. And if you don't have somewhere to put them on ice until they are ready to close, then you're just walking away from that sale and the potential there. And the reality is more than 85% of people typically don't close in the initial sales process.
Like, it's not the 80s anymore. You know what I'm saying? Back in the 80s, it was like, you're going to sign up right now. Like, that's not how it is anymore.
No, not at all. And like, there's a ton of resistance. There's objections. There's all types of stuff. Even when like they're on board, like my closer all the time, they'll verbally sell someone where they're like, yes, I'm in, I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Like just need this. One of the ones we had recently was, he does real estate and he just needs this property to close. And then he's going to get this cash and he's definitely using it and shining up. Right. So like it's verbally closed, but like the deal is still dependent on that home closing and the money being released and all that stuff. So there's still these other things that are contingent, right? They're in, but there's other things. So while this drags on, and it has, like, I think we're in like month two now, we're waiting for this house to close. Right. So while that happens, like, if we just abandon that guy and don't give him a Facebook group, you know, with value in it and all that kind of stuff, then you're missing the
mark. Yeah, because think about it. Even if you put them in an email drip sequence for like 6 months straight, they're going to just kind of read the emails.
Yeah, or not. Or they may have unsubscribed because, you know, email can be annoying, right? Like the thing that I always talk about is like, have as many places for them to find your stuff as possible. So try and get them to like start a podcast, like what we're doing right now. Try to get them to listen to your podcast. If that's how they like to consume content, great. If that's not, they won't subscribe to it. Try to get them in your Facebook group. Maybe they're into groups and that's kind of their thing. Maybe they do like emails. Maybe they will read your emails regularly. But if you only try one of those methods, if that's not their preferred content, you know, delivery system, then you're still missing the mark. So just have all of these channels kind of going and, you know, repurpose content for all of them, right? Sure. Like this episode will be sent on my email list. It'll be posted about in my Facebook group. Obviously it'll be up on the podcast. But all it took me was this, you know, this hour to sit and talk with you to populate all of those things, right? So it sounds overwhelming to have all those channels, but you know,
especially if you have a VA chopping up your podcast and everything. Eliza, shout out Eliza on my team. She kills the podcast editing on my team. So
see, look at that. There's another incredible way you can have a VA, a podcast editor. And that's not even like a skill that you would think to have a VA.
Right?
Like, that's a higher level skill.
Oh yeah. Like if you're gonna like straight up, I saw somebody in your group the other day was like, I need something edited. And I was like, in my head, I was like, VA.
yeah. See, I wouldn't even automatically think that. That's amazing. That's good talent. All right. Why do you think some people caution against using VAs?
Of course. So let me pick my words very carefully. So their mindset is limited. And they've never experienced working with someone that they can trust. And so they think going anything under the level of W-2 is like shooting themselves in the foot.
Okay.
So they think getting an independent contractor anywhere in the world, US, Philippines, India, they think that approach is never going to work.
Wow. That's
I've seen that a lot, right?
Yeah,
like people, you know, they have their biases, right? Well, they're over there.
Yeah.
Right. And really that's rooted in us as a society, as Americans, and our elitism.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. White supremacy, right? These kind of things, these ideologies that have been ingrained in us that America, good old America, it's the best. We're the most intelligent. And my man.
You know what's so many about that? The VAs that I've met are like literally the hardest working people in the world.
Literally the smartest people I've ever met in my entire life. Not just saying that. It's just actually true.
They're extremely smart and honestly way dedicated. Like they're super dedicated and they are workhorses. Like they'll work like crazy. They'll work way more than the average American wants to work. So it, when you have a misconception that you think that, you know, you should be hiring American instead, or that they're going to be working so much harder, like, it's, that's not true.
And I'm guilty too. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, when I very first started, I had those biases too before I started.
Yeah.
And I had to be proven wrong.
Because they're kind of like ingrained in us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do you pick which business tasks your VA should prioritize over other ones?
Yeah. So I start with the growth generating tasks first. Okay. If the need is there. So if there's a need for lead gen, oxygen in the business, I always start there. Then I go to things that are less important. I kind of use like a ladder system. So it kind of goes marketing, admin, video editing. That's kind of the tier there. So if it's not oxygen level stuff, then it kind of goes down the ladder from there.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. And you said once you get a VA, like you said, marketing, admin, and video editing, and you, that's three VAs.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So Eliza does video editing, and then she has a staff. So Eliza is our head of people operations. For people who don't know, I know a lot of you talked to her, and she manages a team of like 15 people now.
Wow.
So she's been promoted multiple times. She's not a VA. Okay. She's management now. So
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So your VAs, like a lot of you are like sleeping on their abilities because you didn't actually hire them correctly. You didn't actually see what they could do in the interview process. She's been a teacher for 10 years before she even met me.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So building all this out together, it's like both of our dream, you know?
And I think there's a lesson there too in, so you're gonna, it's in being able to empower your VA and give them a future with your company, with a normal ladder, like a normal, you know, American,
like a W-2 employee. Have.
Right. Like if you do well here, and then there is room for growth in the company, obviously appreciation, and, a room for pay growth and also room for, you know, a spot in management where we would like one day for you to be training additional, new VAs that are coming in, and helping you. And eventually we would like to continue scaling and have you managing a team that's doing this type of thing. Right. Like, cause eventually we're going to outpace, our company's going to outpace the, our company marketing is going to outpace you, just you. And when that happens, we want you to be able to help someone else under you. And I think giving them that runway is going to empower them. And then they're just going to work that much harder and they're going to be that much more dedicated. And
he's so dedicated, man. Like it's the most, honestly, not to get all emotional, but yeah, like when I'm having a rough day, I just imagine like what Eliza's doing and how she's doing and how her family's doing, you know what I'm saying? Because it matters to me.
Yeah.
It deeply matters to me. And so, you know, our team meetings, we have a team meeting with the team every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And that I look forward to that a lot.
That's cool. Well, when you work with people, you know, so closely and frequently, like they do become some type of, you know, not family, they're not blood, but they are, your work family or your work, right. You know, and that's more than, you know, you could say for a lot of other people out there. So that's a good relationship. Sure. Can a VA help with more complex things, like funnel or web design? Where would you draw that line between the VA task and this is a task where I should get more of a you know, specialized contractor
or for sure. So for me, for agency owners, what I've found is the areas where the performance is not the same would be funnel design, right? And web design.
Okay.
Just about everything else can be done if you get the right person. But in my experience, the funnel piece, like I always find that I need a really deep specialist to get exactly what I'm looking for without me feeling overwhelmed and the other person feeling overwhelmed.
I've had funnel specialists that were not VAs that did not do good.
It's a hard thing.
Yeah.
Very hard.
So putting that on a VA would be a lot. Same with web design too. Like, it's a very specialized thing. You know, thankfully I have Jane, who's like, she's incredible. Funnel design, web design, both of those she's very, very good at. But yeah, no, I've worked with some other people that were, you know, not paid like a VA, like paid like a lot, and still were not good at it. So I can.
And you and I, we have this difference in philosophy on the cold calling, right? So the cold calling sometimes, right, you can have VAs do that, right? Mm-hmm. Or like my approach is have them do warm calling,
right? What do you call their warm Facebook calling?
Yep, have them call people in your Facebook group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's less calls there to happen.
Oh, yeah, way less.
A higher probability of something happening from those
exactly.
calls.
Exactly. Because it's like people that are ready and kind of engaged versus people that never heard from you. There's nothing wrong with the cold calls. It just didn't work for my business model in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. I think and it's a tough one to crack. Like, mm-hmm. I try when I tell people about it, like I try to let them know that it's not something that you should expect like just immediate results to ring out of. Like, it's all lead gen channels, including cold calling with the VA, is something that needs to be optimized. Just like ads need to be optimized, cold calling with a VA needs to be optimized. And you need to look at, are you giving them a good list? Number one, are they, you know, getting past the gatekeeper on this list? Are they using a good script, right? Because you can't just expect them to just wing it. You need to let them know like what they need to be saying and how they need to be answering these types of questions, right? And so you need to take over that control and really help them along the way. And make sure that the conversations are flowing nicely. So there's work that needs to be done there and handholding in the beginning.
Hot take, y'all.
Yeah. But I've seen it several times where
it works. There's no question about it.
It's great. Once it clicks in and they just start and the VA just gets in their groove and they know what to say, they know how to respond. Like, it's amazing. And it's really, it can be a really, really cool thing. I also use warm outreach. So I use a setter for that. So, I mean, I guess they could be considered this like setters and what the cold calling VA is doing, but my setters, they're based in the UK.
What's up, Morgan?
Yeah. Shout out to Morgan. And he does fantastic. And they work in the Facebook group, and they work on like people that go through our funnel, submit the application, qualify for it, but then don't book the call.
Right.
Morgan's all over that.
Exactly. What do you think? What's your opinion on like, how can we give folks like a meter on if cold calling is good for them?
I think that it should be tried. So like it's another kind of like a Facebook like analogy. Like, you can't necessarily say this will be good for me or this will not be good for me. Mm-hmm. You should try it and work with it, because in my opinion, it definitely does work and can work. And all of the lead gen tactics that we teach in the Done For You Agency program work. They take work to get them to work at their highest levels. Like, there's no lead gen channel out there that you can just turn on and then it just rains leads. Because if there was one like that,
we'd all be
drowning in leads. There would be no discussion on lead gen because it wouldn't be effort, right? So like, all of them take work. And so just like with automation on LinkedIn, you have to make sure your messaging is right. You have to make your conversations are right. You know, you have to make sure that you're using the right list as well. Same thing with emails. You have to make sure that you're using the right list. Using the right, copy and verbiage. There's all types of things that in every lead channel that have to be optimized. And so it's for the specific agency owner, it's deciding which of these channels would I enjoy working in? You know, I enjoy tweaking the copy on the, yeah,
that's good.
It's about which one am I going to enjoy, or which one would I happily be able to oversee a VA doing and help them in that, right? Because, you know, like I said, there's no magic, you know, it rains leads. So where am I going to be happy putting my effort in? And if you're not happy listening to a VA calls, listening to how those conversations are going, and then helping the VA maybe adjust for future conversations, or going to get a different list and seeing how that list performs, if you're not being happy with that, then it's not for you.
For sure.
But it doesn't mean it doesn't work. means that that method wasn't for you.
Because like everybody trying new stuff like TikTok ads, YouTube ads, all this stuff. Yeah. Sure, of course they work, but is it really worth trying right now? Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it also depends on, with ads, paid ads, it also depends on your budget. Like if you can't set aside at least $30 a day, or you don't want to set aside it, you'd rather utilize that $1,000 a month in a different area and you think that you'd be more effective in another area, then that's right for you.
Y'all need to get the business Amex, get the gold, get the business Amex when you run your Facebook ads, because if you're seriously upset, like, I don't want to set aside budget, just use the credit card and then now you get free money back.
Yeah. Like what? Like a 2%?
What's that? Like a 2%?
What percentage back? What percentage
was that? I can't remember off the top. I think it was like 2 or 3 times rewards points or something like that. But
nice.
Basically, basically like the way I do it is, okay, I'm going to try and experiment with this new ad because I already have my other channels firing off. Yeah. Right. And I'm using play money really because it's not really my money. It's okay. I'm going to use someone else's money and I'm going to get paid to use someone else's money because like a certain amount's coming back to me as well.
Yep.
So
that's how I like to use it. I use a Capital One venture and I have 2% on everything. 100%.
Okay. Is it the personal card, not the business?
No, it's the business. Ooh. I made sure it was the business because I wanted 2% back on all my ad spend. So with the insane amounts of ad spend, it's basically like getting a check.
Yeah.
Like every few weeks of thousands of dollars from Capital One, which is amazing.
I'm sleeping on this right now.
They didn't want to approve me though, because they saw how much I spent on that thing, and they were giving me resistance because I wanted to.
Yeah, they were giving me some resistance too. They were tripping. They called me.
What do you mean you advertise this? Yeah, they were like, "Well, I'm gonna have to ask my manager." I'm like, what do you mean? This it's a commercial.
Give me that ad.
So they gave it to me, but yeah, it's great. Like cashback is phenomenal. Going back to outreach and lead gen a little bit. Oh, you know what? We already did talk about delegating cold calling to a VA. Yep. So I'll hop over from that one.
Right on.
How many VAs have you hired to date?
Ooh.
I don't know the exact number. If you don't, then a guess. And what advice could you give our audience for finding the right VA for them?
Yes. Okay. I just dropped an ebook and it has the instructions on how to find the perfect VA for you. I actually gave the sauce away on where to look.
Wow.
VA hiring checklist, everything. It's all in there. So grab that.
Okay. Yeah.
All you got to do is go to one of my social media profiles. You'll see it in the link in bio. It's offer.allapproach.com/playbook. So it's a delegation mastery playbook written by your boy. The secret is acquire more than the budget you need, not the amount. So if you want to pay a VA 600, 800, 1,000, 2,000, whatever, acquire more than that before you hire the VA. Because what's going to start to happen is, oh my goodness, I'm not getting ROI yet. You're going to start nitpicking. You want to be a good leader to this person. And if you're focused on the financial aspect like that, because this is a stretch for you right now, that's where things go wrong.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Inserting any type of desperate mindset into your business is always going to choke off the oxygen. It's the worst.
Oh my goodness, Tyler. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Like I remember. So to date, we've interviewed at this point in the last 2 years, over 1500 VAs at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
1500 interviews.
Oh yeah.
I'm tired of hearing that. I need a nap.
I've hired probably around 40
out of 1500.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We're serious about our process.
Qualifications are wow. Okay.
It's savage. I'll be honest with you. People, okay, Kev. Yeah, that's pretty excessive, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, I hope that you have it down now to a point where like you can get them in the first few.
Oh
like,
yeah, it's so
we can cut it off because a long interview of 1500. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, now it's like a pool of 5 or 6 people. You know what I'm saying? Per client. So it's not like that anymore. But in the beginning, it was like, okay, cast that huge net.
Yeah.
And we get like 40, 50 applications a day. It's like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
After this.
To find the right VA for them, go to one of your social media profiles. We'll have whatever one you want to send people to, we'll link it in the show notes. So you just send me that after the show and I'll get that up there. Awesome. So your business, All Approach, they help, or you guys help CEOs hire growth partners instead of VAs. What is the difference between the two? And how do you help CEOs find the right talent for their business?
So here's the difference, right? When you hire a growth partner, the expectations are different. Versus when you hire a VA, like we talked about, there's a specific job description. They can only ever do this, right? And the expectations are pretty much there. With a growth partner, that person can actually evolve and grow as the business needs change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge difference. It's like hiring an employee, right?
Yeah.
Who's starting with you in your startup, but they're an independent contractor. So you have all of the legal protection because they're an independent contractor, but then you also have the benefit of them being actually invested in your business and meeting with you on a frequent basis.
Yeah.
Right. So
I think unknowingly I've built Sylvie Viral on the backs of growth partners.
Yes, you have.
Like I don't have a single full-time like,
Jane is like killing the game. Like she's probably like one of the best growth partners on planet Earth.
Insane.
No question about it.
I mean, so much of the program, it was Jane. Like literally was Jane saying, I know how to optimize this part. I know how to make the experience for our leads better on this part. I know how to, because she's in it every day. Mm-hmm. And so I listen to her because she knows, like she's literally in it every day. So, and you know, like they've all been fantastic. And so they, you know, she's revolutionized our, for everything that we, everything from like our internal software and what we use to like, you know, map out everything to tech systems and processes to just everything. So it's been great.
The key is what they don't know, they can delegate.
Yeah.
That's another huge component. Cause like if you hire a VA and they don't know how to do something, they don't know how to do it.
Yeah, true.
Growth partner. They're going to be like, oh, we need to go ahead and hire someone to do this or delegate it. Or they're going to.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And so like all my team, all my coaches now, they're all growth partners in and of their own sense too. Right. Like,
Like Sam for sure.
Oh yeah.
100%. Cause he'll hop in your Facebook ad account straight up.
Yeah.
Right.
And they'll come to me and be like, we think that a partnership with this company would be beneficial to Sylvie Viral and what we can do for our clients, because we'll be able to deliver this additional service to them.
Right.
And so then I'll go meet with this company that I didn't even know existed because one of them knew about them and thought about how it could benefit Sylvie Viral. That's how like amazing they are and why I would definitely consider them a growth partner versus.
For sure. And the pay rate, the other huge difference is the pay rate is massively different. So folks who are looking for an appointment setting service, that's $200, $300, $400 a month. Growth partner is not for you.
No,
not even close. Right. So our packages, they pretty much start at $1,200 a month. Right. Because the truth is if you're looking for like elite talent, you have to pay elite prices. There's no way around that.
Yeah, for sure. So in our last little bit here, I don't know if your answer, I don't even know if you remember your answer. But maybe your answer has changed. It's okay. I always like to ask at the end of every episode, if you had one piece of advice for a brand new agency owner, what would be your biggest piece of advice? Because I know a lot of our listeners are people that have either just started their agency or maybe in the first few years, or they're thinking about starting their agency and they just haven't pulled the trigger yet. They're just kind of immersing themselves in all of the knowledge that people like myself and you are putting out there. So speaking to those types of people, you know, rewind the clock back to Kevin before he launched All Approach. Like, what do you wish you could have told Kevin that could have maybe made your life a little bit easier?
For sure.
I know there's a lot, but it's like, oh, pick one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick one. I'd say master building the right team first and then master the skill. So yeah. If your skill you want to offer your clients is Facebook ads and you're brand new, right? Mm-hmm. Master getting the right team first. Don't worry about you needing to know every little thing about doing Facebook ads, because that's what your team is for.
Yeah. Right? Oh, that's huge. Yeah. That's something that's actually, that concept was one of the core things that I built the DFY agency around. Like, that's like the entire concept.
You got to get out your own way. That's the whole concept. Yeah.
I was looking, when I started my agency, like, I was running Facebook ads, right? That's why I was able to do it for so long before my ego exploded and I had to go higher. Right. But I mean, I was like everyone else. And like, I was like, oh, you know, I'm a Facebook ads agency. So I'm going to make sure I learn Facebook ads and really like dive in and really do them, you know, to the best of my ability. And I was just like buried under the weight of my own clients. I didn't even have that many clients. Like, I was just like, I had, you know, a handful of clients, but like the workloads and trying to maintain all their ad accounts every single day myself. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, eventually, if I want to grow, like, I have to bring in the right people. And like, I think I had this misconception that you didn't have to, that you had to have the money to hire those people right then. And so I never explored it. But then I realized, like, no, you can bring in people per project. And when you have the funds,
man.
Yeah. But people don't, like, we often don't think about that. So I think that's a huge lesson, because oftentimes if you talk to a new agency owner, they're like sitting there with all their clients and they haven't even considered like taking a little bit less money into your own pocket so that you can take a whole lot more weight off your shoulders.
Oh yeah. Big facts. Like, pay yourself like a janitor until you can ball.
Yeah.
For sure. That's the way. Yeah. That's the way.
I think my biggest thing, like, that I would tell new agency owners, like, right now is don't give up so easily, because that frustrates me more than like almost anything else, is seeing people, like, for, we'll keep it on VAs. They'll hire a VA for cold calling, or they'll hire a VA for manage their LinkedIn messaging, or they'll hire a VA for email. And then they get a month or two in, or they'll get even a few weeks sometimes. It's crazy. Yeah. And the results aren't happening. Like, the tasks are happening, but the results aren't happening. And what they do is they go, it doesn't work. And I'm like, what do you mean? It doesn't work. The cold emailing doesn't work. So I let the VA go. Yeah. And I'm like, you fired the VA. You didn't validate
the offer yet, dude.
Yeah. You fired the VA, you let him go, and you did it off of the thought that the whole thing doesn't work. No, it works. Like, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about it if it didn't work. Like, of course it works. Like, it goes back to what I was saying before. Like, you got to optimize it. So it's just like, you know, keep at it. Like, I think it's a millennial thing.
Come on, dog. It's a millennial thing. It's like, if you didn't have that grit, like we were talking about on my podcast, right? If you didn't grow up kind of the way we did with real challenges in your life, you're gonna fold right away.
And
we can't instill that in you, but you can definitely be inspired by other people who have serious grit.
For sure. And much like grit and persistence, like not willing to give up. When you truly want something, like, you're gonna make it happen.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like, find the lead gen tactic that, you know, that you can get into the most and do it. Like, get into it. Yeah, yeah. You'll make it happen. Thank you again for coming on the show. I think we made a lot more headway into the whole VA world. And I think people will be able to definitely you know, get a ton more information from your ebook as well. So we'll get that linked up. But yeah, till next time. I'm sure there will be another time. Who knows when we'll have to have you back.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to do like a music trivia or something random next time.
Yes, so start working on that so you can get it back to the show. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. I will see you on the next episode.